ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा विदितात्मा जितेन्द्रियः सर्वभूतात्मभूतात्मा कुर्वन्नति लिप्यते।
In these verses between 7 to 12, Krishna is teaching Arjuna how to perform Karma Yoga. So the translation goes like this: one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. So, this chapter is entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. In the first 6 verses, Arjuna began with the question of whether he should perform work or he renounce everything. So, Krishna again, as he explained in the 3rd chapter, he told Arjuna that one has to perform work, but one should be detached from the fruits of action. So, Krishna has been stressing till text number 6 on this one point, that if one gives up work and becomes a karma sannyasi, you remember the difference between the two. I was telling about karma sannyasi and nitya sannyasi. Karma sannyasi is one who gives up his action and tries to renounce the world and go to Himalaya, and he performs no work. He is karma sannyasi. Nitya sannyasi is one who is a renunciate also, but he performs work, but is working only for Krishna. So, Krishna in the earlier verses explained the difference between the two. So, we were saying in detail about action and renunciation, and what is the intersection of action and renunciation, how Yukta Vairagya is the intersection between the two. So, here today we are reading how a Karma Yogi acts. 3 qualifications are required for one in the material world to become a real worker. How one can be a Krishna conscious worker? He says, Yoga Yukto, Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma. He says, Yoga Yukto is one should work in devotion, and one should be a pure soul, Vishuddhatma, and Vijitatma means one should be sense control. If one has these 3 qualifications, then one can successfully perform Karma Yoga. And such a person, he says, sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvanna kilipyate. Sometimes when we talk of bhutatma bhutatma, people say such a person becomes the soul in everyone's body. He becomes God. People give such misinterpretation. Actually, when we talk of bhutatma bhutatma, it means that such a person becomes dear to every living entity. And he loves every living entity and is compassionate towards every living entity. How is he compassionate? He explained with these words, sarva bhutatma bhutatma. He is so compassionate towards every living being as if he is standing on their own shoes, as if he is situated in their heart. He is so compassionate. It may be very difficult for us to understand the sufferings of other people, because generally in this world everyone is selfish. Everyone worries only about their own suffering. Very rarely do we find instances of great souls who understand the suffering of other living beings and have a desire to help them. So this kind of person who is a great devotee, who is a Yoga Jipto, Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma, who has these qualifications, he is extremely compassionate towards every soul. Sometimes you say in English the phrase, isn't it? That if you stand on his shoes, you can understand the difficulty. That means you have to put yourself in his position and see how his situation is. In the same way, such a soul is a Paradukkha Dukkhi. He feels pain when he sees other living beings suffering pain. Generally in this world, people are Paradukkha Sukhi. When they see others suffering, they delight in that. When others enjoy, the neighbor, he suffers. People do not want to see others happy. They want to see themselves to be the most happiest. So that is the general trend of a very selfish person. But if a person is a gentleman, at least he says, I want to see others happy and I want to see me also happy. He wants everyone to be happy, including himself. So he is a sajjan. So there is a materialist, there is a gentleman, and a sadhu is the opposite. He greatly suffers when he sees other living beings suffering, and he greatly rejoices when he sees other living beings happy. This is the mood of a sadhu. Sadhu is called as a Paradukkha Dukkhi. That is why it is called as Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. So he loves every living being. And why he loves every living being? He loves every living being because of that connection to Krishna. Just like if amidst all of us, if a Prime Minister's son is sitting, naturally he will be given a very special respect, isn't it? Everyone will look towards him in a very different way. They will not look at him like an ordinary person, isn't it? In the same way, everyone sitting in this room today is related to Krishna. That means you have to look at everyone very carefully, as if you are looking at Prime Minister's son. So, a pure devotee is able to see the relationship of every living being with Krishna. That is the reason why when any one of them suffers, he also feels a great pain. That's why he loves every living being. And here it is said in the translation, not only does he love everyone, everyone else is dear to him also. Why everyone loves him? Every other living being loves him. So the Prabhupada explains, every other living being loves him because he is a servant of all. Because such a pure devotee is a servant of every living being. One time, Srila Prabhupada was giving a class on Varnashram Dharma. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he was explaining about the different categories. And he was explaining that there is a great need in society for intellectual class of people to guide the entire society. Otherwise society will go to the dogs. And when he was speaking like this, one student, he stood up and he argued with Prabhupada. So you are talking about first class man, second class man, third class man and fourth class man. And do you think you are the topmost? What is your position? He asked. Prabhupada said, I am servant of all. He said, I am a Vaishnava. I am servant of all the four classes. I am not in any of these four classes. He said, actually a Vaishnava devotee is beyond these four classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Still, Srila Prabhupada, out of the humility of a pure devotee, he said, I am servant of all the classes. This is the meaning of a pure devotee. He always considers himself servant of every living being. In this world, nobody wants to become servant. You can see, when we talk of servant, he is supposed to serve submissively, just like a sold out slave. That's the meaning of a servant. But in this world, everyone wants to become a master. And everyone has exploiting tendency. Like a man wants to exploit woman. Woman wants to exploit man. Women start their liberation and they want to exploit man. Man wants to exploit woman. Or capitalists want to exploit communists. Communists want to exploit capitalists. Has a tendency to always exploit everyone and everything around him. This tendency can be very easily seen in the modern time. Like a computer, we used to have only keyboard before. Now we have a mouse at which you can go anywhere in the monitor, all over the screen. Similarly, you have a mobile. Simply by having a phone in your pocket or in your hand, you can talk to anybody anywhere. Isn't it? Or you can have a remote control and you can control the television simply by your hand control while lying in your bed. Now you have remote control even for fan and tube lights. and you have a remote control for your car door to open. It gives a beep sound and it opens. So you can do so many things simply at your hand. So man is creating things which will enthuse other men that they have complete control over everything. They want to show that man can have control over everything. Everything in your hand, at your fingertips. You can do whatever you want. The moon is under your feet. This is American statement. They say the moon is under your feet. So in this way, they want to bring everything under their control. This is the desire of a man. This is called as exploitative tendency. You want to suck the blood of everyone else. Like a master in a company, a boss, he wants to squeeze out his subordinates and get maximum work done. But he wants to take the credit for himself. And the subordinate is just waiting, when will the master go away? If the boss is away for 15 days, he sits in the boss's seat. And he says, I am the boss now. There is nobody above me. And he feels a great joy in doing so. And he feels like a free bird in the absence of his boss. And the servant always is thinking that I have to escape from the job. I will not do job. Like boss wants to give 5,000 rupees and wants to take 50,000 rupees job. And the servant wants to earn 5,000 and do 500 rupees job. So both ways they are stretching. There is a tug of war between the two. So nobody in this world really wants to become servant. But here is a pure devotee of the Lord who wants to become servant of every living being. That is why he is dear to every living being. Then all the living beings look at him, that he is a servant of every living being, then they love him so much. That's how he becomes dear to every living being. So when we talk of compassion for the souls, what does it mean? Like here it is, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. There are stories of great kings. We have read in our school days. Like once there was a king, he was passing through the forest. He had a very nicely polished chariot in which he was driving. And when he went to the forest, he saw there was one creeper which was hanging without any support. Then he kept his chariot there so that the creeper can grow on the chariot. So he left the chariot for the creeper. He saw the suffering nature of this creeper. He just left it for the creeper. And he started walking towards his palace. So this is certainly compassion. There was another king who, while passing in the forest during a cold winter, he saw there was a peacock which was shivering. It was terrible cold. He took his own thick blanket and put it on his body so that the peacock will not suffer. And he was ready to shiver and go back to his palace. These are all very great kings who lived in the past, who were such dana shrestha, who were ready to serve the other living beings. But these services certainly are not of a superlative degree. They are certainly not of a very high degree. Because saving a coat of a drowning man is no saving at all. Simply serving the body and feeling compassion for the suffering body is no compassion at all. We have to see the suffering soul in these suffering bodies. Of course, these are certainly great things, but because they did not have the knowledge of the soul, they did not know anything higher than serving the body. Somebody is suffering out of hunger, you give him food. Somebody is suffering without a job. There are crorepati to offer so many jobs to people. There are so many people who give charity, money to poor people. But these are all not considered compassion at all. Because you may think it is compassion, but the same money may be misused by those people. Or even if they get food today, how many months, how many years are you going to serve them? One day or other we also have to end our life. We will be dead. So then what is real service? Real compassion is to show compassion to the soul. Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. That is real compassion. The soul is a son of God who is wandering in this world like a beggar. To help him to return back to his original father, that is real service. That is why the devotee is considered the most intelligent, because he can render the most valuable service to every living being. Everyone else is considered a second class, third class, fourth class, fifth class worker. Nobody can be considered first class unless he helps the soul to return back to his original father's kingdom. That is a first class service for any living being. So Srila Prabhupada would often say this: first you become Krishna conscious and you make others Krishna conscious. And making other people Krishna conscious is considered the greatest compassion. There is nothing that can be compared to that. And this will be realized by one only when one becomes Krishna conscious. As long as we are body conscious, we cannot appreciate this spiritual service that we are entering in our movement. Like many times when reporters come and ask us, what is your service? We talk about how we are helping people to understand that they are not the body, they are the souls, and they have to return back to the kingdom of God. They say, tell us some practical service what you are doing for the body, because they cannot see anything beyond the body. So this compassion is actually for the soul, for the suffering souls in everyone's body. So a pure devotee is clearly able to see that in every body there is a living spark who is eternally related to Krishna. And now he is struggling in this big whirlpool of material existence, cycle of birth and death, life after life. So he wants to deliver them. He wants to pick them out of this whirlpool and put them back in the kingdom of God. So although there are social welfare workers, there are philanthropists, there are altruists, there are varieties of workers, they can't be considered first class like this pure devotee. And a pure devotee, as you said, is a servant of every living being, and one cannot be a servant unless one is a vijitatma. As it is said, vijitatma jitendriya. One who has conquered the pushings of his senses, only such a person can become a servant of every other living being. Because the nature of every living being in this world, as I was telling just before, is to exploit. That is exploiting tendency comes from, that is coming from the sense gratificatory mentality. The degree to which we encourage the six pushings, vacha vegam, manasa vegam, krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udara vegam, upastha vegam, the urge to speak nonsensical things, useless subject matters, manasa vegam, urge to allow the mind to wander here and there in wrong directions, vacha vegam, manasa vegam, krodha vegam, anger, infused anger, jihva vegam, urge of the tongue, udara vegam, urges of belly, upastha vegam, urges of genitals. So these six urges, the degree to which we have not controlled these six urges, to that degree we cannot be called as a Goswami. We are called as a Godas. And if we remain Godas, we can never become servant of other living beings. It is not possible. Here it is a Vijitatma Jitendriya. He has conquered his senses and he has conquered his mind and intelligence. So he can be a servant to every living being. Because we really cannot understand the sufferings of other people unless we control the senses. You can see for yourself, to the degree to which you have controlled your senses, you can be sensitive to the other's suffering. In Vaishnava culture, always it is said that we should learn to become more and more sensitive to others' feelings. Most often we feel like a stone to others' feelings. That is because we are not sense controlled. Like if you are very hungry and if there is something to eat, you will quickly eat it so that before the other person comes close to you. Because you don't even want to share half an eat. Because we don't have control over the tongue. Similarly with every one of the senses. You cannot have any compassion to others. First compassion is for yourself. Then only compassion for others. Isn't it? Is it possible? Just imagine if you are lying in the outside platform somewhere in the terrible cold of a winter and somebody else is shivering, whether you will be ready to give your blanket to them. It's a big question mark. We'll certainly not do that. Maybe sometimes out of emotional thing we may say, oh yes, certainly I will do that. But when you are practically put into such a situation, you cannot do that. So, one can become a servant of other living being only when one is sense-controlled. Not only one should be sense-controlled, one should be intelligent to know, how can I best serve that person? The best service is for the soul, by giving Krishna consciousness. So, such a person is never entangled. Kurvannati nalipyate. He is kurvan, he acts, but he is never entangled. So, when such a person is working like that, what is his consciousness? He said in the next shloka. Please respond. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manjeta tatvavir pashyam shrinman spishan
జిగ్రన్ అశ్నన్ గచ్చన్ పపంచసన్ కలపన్ విసృజన్ గృహ్ణన్. ఉన్మిషన్ నిమిషన్నపి ఇంద్రియాణింద్రియార్థేషు వర్తంత ఇతి ధారయన్.
In the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, sitting, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does not at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them.
So here Krishna is talking about the consciousness of a devotee, how he works. It's a very sweet word, Pashyan, Shunman, Pashyan, Jigran, Nashnan, Krishnan, Sakhan, Shashan. These are all different activities that take place in the body. Naiva kinchit karomi, this is what he feels. Very simple word, Naiva kinchit karomi, I am not the doer, I am not doing anything. He feels like that. Yukto manyeta tattvavit, he is a tattvavit, knower of the truth. What is the meaning of tattvavit? One who knows, I am not this body and I am not the doer of anything and everything is just taking place in my body. One who feels like that, he is called as a tattvavit. Like when he sees a laddu that is put in the tongue, laddu is a sense object, tongue is a sense, and there is a contact of sense, object and sense. The happiness that we feel, or when you put a bitter gourd in your tongue, the bitterness that you feel, this is simply arising out of the contact of the sense and sense object. He is not disturbed. He understands, I am a soul aloof from this kind of activity. That is the meaning of tattvavit. Naiva kinchit karomi. That is why it is at Pashyan, when he is seeing, he knows that the eyes do not see, Shringman, hearing, Swishan, Jigran, Gachan, Swapan, Swishan. All these things are activities taking place in the body. Seeing, hearing, touching, Jigran is smelling, Ashnan is eating, Gachan is moving, Swapan is sleeping or dreaming, Shwasan is breathing. And all these activities take place in the body. Indriyani indriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. So when we talk of transcendental knowledge, that I am not the body, this knowledge should not just remain a theory for us. One has to express this knowledge through action. How can one express it through action? That is what is explained in this verse. That when all these activities take place in the body, the acharya says, I have written comments here, this knowledge allows us to remain aloof from the body as we work. We see our body acting, but we have no interest in the fruits. So Krishna is describing how transcendental knowledge that I am not the body should be expressed through work. You see, generally we identify with the body. And when these activities take place in the body, we very much identify with the body. How can we know that? It's very easy. If I show you a gulab jamun now, if your tongue is secreting saliva, that means you are identifying with the body. Very easy. That means your material senses are very active. Like the tongue, like the eyes, the nose. If somebody, if I show you a bhaji and you immediately get a good smell, and immediately your nose is pulling you in that direction, that means your material senses are active. So in this way, for every one of our senses, for sense of touch, for sense of smell and hearing and eyes, for every one of the senses, very easy to understand. So generally, when we are in a conditioned state, the material senses are very active. But can material senses be active? Material senses are dead, is it not? The material body is dead. How can they be active? Who can tell the answer?
Because the soul
contains
the mind.
Yes? Mind also is dead.
Because the concept
of
the soul is in the body.
That is all right. Identifying with the body. Correct. The soul is identifying with the body. That is the real problem. Why do we become immediately alarmed when we see a sense object? Any sense object for any one of these senses. If you become immediately affected or influenced by the sense object, that means you are still materially active. A spiritual person, for him, the material senses are not active. For him, the transcendental senses are active. So when a person is completely pure-hearted and is a pure soul, he works only with the transcendental senses, only with the pure spiritual senses. His material senses are completely inactive. That you can clearly see. That means what is very attractive to the mind of a materialist or even any of a devotee will not be of any concern for a pure devotee, because his material senses have practically become inert and his spiritual senses have become fully awakened. Now we are in this stage. On one hand, we have the knowledge that our spiritual senses should be active, and we have the knowledge that the material senses are dead. At the same time, we are not able to act on a spiritual platform. We are still acting on a material platform due to inability to control the senses. All of you understand the statement? Who can tell? Repeat this again.
We have the knowledge that the material senses are dead, but we are unable to act on the same spiritual platform.
Because of
unable to control
ourselves. Yes, correct. So we have not yet become Vijitatma Jitendriya. When you become Vijitatma Jitendriya, then you can purely act on the spiritual platform. And your material senses will completely become inert. So that is a high advanced platform. So when we are in an interim stage, if we continue to do the work, and on one hand try to become Jitendriya, sense control, and on the other hand possess the knowledge that I have to become a pure soul acting on a spiritual platform, if you work in knowledge, very soon you will achieve the state of pure Krishna consciousness and you will become completely sense controlled. It's possible. And there are many souls who are acting on a transcendental platform. There are vivid examples for that. We can show many examples. When Sanatana Goswami wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went through the beach of Jagannath Puri. There was hot sand and he was walking with bare foot. It was practically burning his feet. Blisters were coming. But he did not feel any pain because his entire mind was focused on Lord Chaitanya, meeting him. And when Lord Chaitanya met him, he asked him, "How did you come?" He said, "I came through the beach." So that the pujaris in Jagannath Puri temple, they shouldn't see me, because by seeing me they will become contaminated, he said. So his transcendental senses are so active that he didn't feel any pain, although he was walking through the hot sand. Similarly, we say Raghunath Das Goswami, when he wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya, he also went through the forest. It is said he was getting some milk once in 3 days, and the next 6 days he didn't get anything. He was just starving. But because he was completely Krishna conscious, he was not even feeling any need of food. Even Parikshit said the same thing. Parikshit, it is said, he was actually feeling very thirsty, and the great sage Samikrishi was not giving him water. So out of anger, he put a snake on his shoulder before. But when he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, this is the meaning of awakening of transcendental senses. When our transcendental senses are awakened, we completely become free from all the limited material existence. Time cannot limit you, thirst cannot limit you, hunger cannot limit you, nothing can limit you. You start sucking the nectar of, drinking the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Nothing can put any barrier or any limitation. So Shukadeva Goswami was incessantly speaking and Parikshit was incessantly hearing like that. Similarly, we see Srila Prabhupada, when he was writing the 10th canto, he had a very, very severe disease in his body, and doctor said, this person, he must be suffering very excruciating pain in his body, and he cannot do anything, they said. He cannot speak, he cannot move, he cannot do anything, he has to just lie in the bed. But they kept dictaphone very close to his mouth, and still with a very low voice, Prabhupada was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Because his consciousness was so clear, like a crystal clear lake water. So he could clearly think. We can read Srila Prabhupada's purport even in the 10th canto today. How crystal clear purports they are. So a pure devotee's mind is not disturbed by any situation, any material situation, because he is acting on a transcendental platform. So this is the meaning of acting with transcendental senses. So, as he says, naiva kanchit karomi iti yukto manye yukta savit, he sees that all these things are taking place in my body, eating, sleeping, waking up, going, coming. He considers these things to be like normal duties. We have to do it. What to do? Nobody likes to go to the bathroom. Who likes to go to the bathroom? How many of you like to take bath in the cold water in the morning? Similarly, visajan. Evacuating is not an interesting activity. But you have to do it anyway. Similarly, all the activities given here, one has to do these activities, that in a pure devotee's body, these things take place like just like that. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, he never knew when he ate the food, when he went here, when he went there, when was he doing which activity. He didn't know, knew it himself. Because these things were all taking place in his body. On the other hand, his soul was completely absorbed in Krishna. That was a 24 hours activity for him. Even when he would sleep in the night, he was dreaming about Krishna. When he woke up in the morning, he saw Krishna. 24 hours he was seeing Krishna and he was relating to Krishna, implicating with Krishna. This is the meaning of a pure devotee. He is 24 hours present with Krishna. On the other hand, his material senses are going on doing their activities. So that's why a pure devotee says, naiva kinchit karomi iti. So how can we come to the stage of transcendental consciousness? So the next two shlokas Krishna tells us the clue. How we can come to this stage of consciousness of a pure devotee? Please repeat after me.
Brahmanyadhaya
karmani, Brahmanyadhaya karmani,
Sangam chatva karotiyah,
Sangam chatva karotiyah,
Lityatena sapatena,
Lityatena sapatena,
Padma patrami vambasa,
Padma patrami vambasa.
Translation.
When you perform this duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord is unaffected by sinful action, as the lotus leaf is untouched by water.
Yeah. Very important. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. One should work for the Supreme Lord. That is the first condition Krishna puts. Sangam katva karotyaha. One should give up attachment. So in this shloka, the first condition is said, that is, one should work for Krishna. And the next shloka he tells the second condition.
Kaye namanasa buddhya,
Kaye namanasa buddhya,
Kevalairindriyairapi,
Kevalairindriyairapi,
Yoginas karma kurvanti,
Yoginas karma kurvanti,
Sangam chakpatma shuddhaye,
Sangam chakpatma shuddhaye.
Translation.
Yogi, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification.
So, in the first shloka, he says, Brahmanyadaya karmani. As Krishna said earlier in the third chapter, that one should work for me. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya, he said. You give up all the fruits of your action for my pleasure. And then he also said, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya, adhyatma chetasa, he said. You should be in pure Krishna consciousness. Who would like to give up all the fruits of his action after doing all the work? But that's what Krishna demands. One should be ready to give all the fruits to me. Number two, you should be in adhyatma chetasa. That means always in Krishna consciousness. Just like a father, he goes from home to the office. But then after going to office, he forgets the home. And he is busy in the office, day after day, month after month. That is not his constitutional position. His natural position is to be at home and go to office in the daytime. Similarly, the soul, his constitutional position is to be in the spiritual world and to be in Krishna consciousness. But somehow or other we have fallen into this world and we have achieved these bodies, we have been trapped in this body now. So when we talk of adhyatma chetasa, to remember that my constitutional position is to be a servant of Krishna, to remember one's duty, that is the meaning of adhyatma chetasa. And he says, nirashir, one should not have any desire for any profit while doing one's work. And nirmamata, nirmama, he says, do not think you are the owner. Do not claim ownership while doing the work. How can one not claim ownership and not claim proprietorship? Not have any desire for the profit. One has to have all these things, he says. Then he says, yudhya, yudhyasva, vigatajvara. Do not have any laziness to do like that, he says. Krishna actually very beautifully instructs Arjuna in this way, because in this world, people agree to do some work. So why that? They are given the profit of that work. You tell a person, okay, you will not get the profit for this work. Then the person is saying, okay, I don't want any profit. At least put my name that I only did this job. That is enough for me. If you don't want to pay me any remuneration, just like an artist, you know, the right below. I will give this picture free recorded, you allow me to put my name. So at least they want to claim ownership or proprietorship or at least the name and fame through that. Krishna says, don't expect that also. And then he says, when you tell a worldly person like that, don't expect profit, don't have any expectations from that, and still you have to do the work, then what happens to him? He simply becomes lazy. Isn't it? Just like a government officer, government worker. You go to many government offices, you will find the chairs empty. Most of them go for drinking tea and they don't come back. Most often you find their coats in that chair. Only the coats are lying there. Why you don't find them? Because if they do work, there is no incentive for them. If they don't do work, they cannot be kicked out of the job. So that is why they become lazy. So they don't have proprietorship, they don't have any ownership, they don't have any credit, no incentive, they become lazy. But here Krishna says, Vigatajvara, he says, don't become lazy. He says, you should give the fruits to me, you should not have desire for profit and adoration, anything. Still you should do the work, he says. This is the meaning of a pure devotee. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyam. We should learn to offer the fruits to me like this. So in these two sutras you understand, if you are working for two things, then you can achieve the status where you can act with transcendental senses. Number one is we should work for Krishna under the instruction of Krishna. That is the first one. Second one is the purpose of our work should be purification. Atma Shuddhaye Hive. Atma Shuddhaye, that should be the purpose. If purification is not the purpose of all your activities, then you are lost. Even in devotional service, you are completely lost. So when we do any activity, we have to ask this question to ourselves. Am I acting under the instruction of Krishna? Second question is, am I doing this work simply for my own name and fame or for my purification? Like prasadam. When the prasadam time comes, am I eating prasad for gratifying my senses or to keep my body and soul together so that my body may serve Krishna? So we have to ask this question practically at every point. Every point we have to ask this question. Any activity you do, right from the morning when you wake up, up to the night you go to bed. Like nowadays it's terribly cold in Pune. So when you have to take cold water bath, it is so cutting cold. Sometimes we give justification. If you take cold water bath and then I fall sick, I may not be able to serve Krishna. So I take hot water bath. Then we heat the water and it is smoking. So we want to take smoking water bath and that is sense gratification. Certainly. So if you really want to heat the water, you can bring it to normal temperature, where it is neither too hot, not too cold, it is just at the room temperature by which it will not give any gratification to your body, at the same time you won't get sick. Correct? So that way you can avoid sense gratification. So right from morning you have to think at every point, am I gratifying my senses or am I acting for Krishna's service? Similarly prasad, when the prasad comes, morning you say, what sabji is being cut today? If they are cutting, even before it goes, bhoga goes to Krishna. You eat it before, you mentally eat it, before Krishna eats it. How unfortunate. That is why in some temples whoever makes rajabhoga, they are not allowed to eat. But while making only they think, oh, this is wonderful, when is it going to come out? Very soon. Today we are making this. So, one should not have that mentality. One should learn to serve Krishna for purification. So throughout the day we can think at every point, am I doing it for my own sense gratification or am I doing it for purification? Like that. Now our senses are so numb and so dull that we have not even come to a stage of asking this question. So now we should learn to ask this question. Now our senses are so wild, they are just saying, come on, whatever it is, I'll bring it, let me eat it, let me gratify my tongue, let me gratify my eyes, let me gratify my ears. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, we want to just gratify all our sense of closing the eyes. We just don't want to worry about purification. This is the most preliminary stage. But after a certain stage, when we become mature, we should think about these things more deeply. At every point, we should learn to question ourselves. Am I doing it for purification? Or am I gratifying my sense? So, this is the meaning of Atma Shuddhi. So, he uses the word here. Actually, one word which I didn't tell you was the yukta. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma. The word Yuktam is engaged. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma. Yoga means Krishna consciousness. Yoga Yukto is one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita uses two words. In one place uses the word Kama Karena. In another word, another place uses for Krishna service. So we have to see whether it is Krishna Karena or Kama Karena. Kama Karena word is many places used in Bhagavad Gita. As he says in one of the verses later, those who give up the scriptures, yes, Shastra Vimutsujya, Tattate Kama Karataha, he says. So we should never become a Kama Karataha. Kama Karataha means one who is simply acting for the dictation of his mind and senses. That is certainly not for purification. So if any of us are sometimes worrying, why am I not advancing in Krishna consciousness? The reason is very simple. We are not working for purification. We are working for gratification of our senses. That's the reason. Sometimes people say, why am I not able to chant? Why am I not able to advance? We are holding on. We are attached to gratifying our senses. We are not worrying about purification. That is the real problem. So when we start working in this direction, working according to the instruction of Krishna to please Krishna, that is the first condition, and then working for Atma Shuddhi, purification, this will bring us to the platform of a pure devotee, one who feels naiva kinchit karomi iti, that I am not doing anything, Krishna is doing everything. Yukto manyet tattvavit, yukto, that yukto also is engaging in Krishna service, tattvavit, then we can become tattvavit. Then when these things take place in our body, Pashyan, Shinman, Shpashyan, all these activities take place in the body, you can know that these are all taking place between body and the sense objects. And one is detached, one understands, I am not this body, I am the soul. That is why such a soul, even if he is provided with many, many nice, wonderful items to eat or things like that for any other sense, he doesn't derive any special pleasure from them. Because he is detached. Whatever is given by Krishna, he accepts. Whatever is sent by Krishna, he accepts. As we were reading earlier, Yadrucha Labha Santushto. Dandvatita Vimacharaha. Yadrucha means whatever comes of its own accord, he will accept. Whether it is palatable, very tasty, or it is not palatable, whatever Krishna sends, a devotee accepts. So I will stop here with the verse number 11. So we will continue in the next class. Hare Krishna. Actually, verse number 12, there is not much to explain. This tells the difference between the two, which I was telling you now. You can repeat after me. Yukta karma phalam chatva. Shanti mapnoti naishtike. Ayukta kama karena. Pade satto nibadhyate. Translation.
The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes endless.
Yeah. So this is a culmination verse of this 5 verses, 7 to 12. This tells the difference between an attached worker and a detached worker. One who is detached and offers his fruits to Krishna, what happens to him is very simple Sanskrit verse. Yukta, one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. Karma phalam chatva, that means he gives up his fruits for Krishna. Shanti mapnoti, he becomes peaceful. Naishtikim, that means steady peace he gets from platform of peace. On the other hand, ayuktaha, one who is not engaged in Krishna service. Kama karena phale. Kama karena means for his own sense gratification. Phale sattva means attached to the fruits. Nibadhyate, he becomes entangled. So beautiful verse. This tells the difference between one who works for purification and one who works for gratification. So this tells the difference between the two. Hare Krishna, any questions?
He does not have spiritual senses. His spiritual senses are there, but they are covered with mind. So, can you explain this? It seems to me.
Yeah, of course, spiritual senses are there with everyone. It's not that we don't have spiritual senses. Otherwise, how are you advancing in Krishna consciousness? Every living being has spiritual senses, but they are sleeping peacefully. They are not doing any activity. Now, when the spiritual comes to this world, we are coming in the form of a bija. our spiritual things are practically inert. They are not doing any activity. Those who are hardcore materialistic people, their spiritual bodies are completely inert. Their spiritual senses are not at all doing any action. They are not zero action, they are doing very minimal action because they are in a human body. They stand a good chance to kindle their spiritual senses. But when one comes in contact with the pure devotee and he gradually advances in understanding, the more your understanding of Krishna consciousness becomes more and more, and your services become more and more, and you become more and more purified, that much the spiritual senses become more and more active. And at one stage one becomes completely spiritual, spiritually surcharged, and he becomes transcendental in his actions. He goes beyond the three modes. So till that point, like, we are in an interim stage now, so we have to come to the stage of complete purification. The seed form, like a seed, grows into a tree. Similarly, the seed form of the soul will gradually expand into the original form of the soul. Whatever the soul form is there in the spiritual world, the same form. Like it is said, one can revive one's original position in the spiritual world as a covered boy or as a covered girl or as a parent of Krishna. That is actually the original form of the soul. But now it is covered and it's in a bija form now. But the more you rekindle that form and do service more and more, then you get the Swarupya Siddhi. Then you can understand your original identity.
Basically, when the material senses are doubted for Krishna service, they are specialized. So they become spiritual senses. Or do we have separate spiritual senses and separate material senses?
We have separate spiritual senses also. Like the spiritual body has spiritual eyes, spiritual lips, spiritual ears. We have a separate spiritual body. We have spiritual intelligence also. But in the spiritual body, the mind, intelligence, the true ego, they all are actually one complete substance. It is made of Satchitananda. Whereas in the material body, everything is separate. The eyes can be plugged out. Isn't it? They are separate. But in spiritual body, it is not like that. They all are one full substance, completely. And the spirit is seeing through the eyes. I am the seer. I am seeing through the eyes, hearing through the ears. Like, you know, you pluck out these eyes and put it in somebody else's body and they can see. Isn't it? Because the spirit soul is inside the body. So, the seer is the soul, the hearer is the soul is there inside the body, but the soul also has separate set of senses that are completely spiritual. But the acharyas tell us that the material body has material senses which are very impure, but by putting these material senses in touch with spiritual subject matters, then they can become purified. Just like an iron, if you put it in a red hot, you know, burning fire, then it also becomes red hot. Similarly, the senses, there is a method of purifying the material senses also. Like the head should bow down before Krishna, eyes should see the beauty of Krishna, like that. This is the way of purifying the material senses. But then, when you purify the material senses, one comes to the stage of awakening the spiritual senses. But in any case, the material senses are always dead on it. But the material senses appear to be active because of our identification with the body. But the more you use the material senses in Krishna service, your identification with the body gradually keeps on reducing, and you come to a stage where you identify yourself only with the soul, and you know that the body is dead. Like that. Many times when you read, you don't understand, but after some years, when you are doing activity, some realization comes to you. Suddenly, yes, it happens in every devotee. Realization doesn't mean that one has to come to the, there is only one realization, it's not like that. One can have realization at every stage. In every stage, one can get different type of realization. Just like there is mathematics at different levels, different standards. Similarly, our realizations can be according to our understanding. Krishna will make the theory a practical thing in our heart as we advance more and more. Yes. Yes, that's right. Yes. And that may be little open, you know. When your eyes are little open, you can see something. When your eyes are wide open, then you can see clearly everything. So it's gradually opening now. Now all of us, suddenly our eyes have begun to open at least. If our eyes have not begun to open, you won't be here, continuing Krishna consciousness. The very fact that we are enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness shows that our eyes have started opening. But some people's eyes are little open. Sometimes they want to do sense gratification. Sometimes they want to do Krishna consciousness. That means eyes are very little open. They are not able to see clearly everything. But one whose eyes are wide open, a pure devotee, he can never fall down. He can never commit any mistake. He is always completely pure. As we were reading about yoga, you saw Siddhartha like that. Yeah. One question you can take, Mataji. Yeah. See, there is a stage of sinful life. If you take the two walls, you know, there is a sinful life, one wall, there is another wall which is pure life. So there is a transition period between the two. There is a sinful life, there is a pure life. Now we all are in the in-between period. Somebody has come to 10%, somebody has come to 20% or 50% like that. And especially in the intermediate period, again the old bad habits will pull us again. That's what we call as temptation. If one succumbs to temptation, that means he is again falling back to this platform again. Then again one has to again get back with all struggle again. But if you don't succumb to temptations, if you win the temptations, then you are progressing one step ahead towards pure life. So till you touch the point of pure life, these temptations are going to be there. But one thing we can assure is that the temptations will reduce. The kind of temptations you get will also become more and more subtle. For example, from the sinful life when you are moving, initially you will have very gross temptations. And then when you move ahead and ahead, the temptations will become, the gross ones you may probably win. And then there will be subtle temptations within the mind, within the heart. Now, as devotees, sometimes even when some bad thoughts come in the mind, we worry so much. But earlier, even to do such things in a grass, we would not worry, isn't it? That means you are advancing, but you are not yet become completely pure. So when you are going ahead and ahead and ahead, don't succumb to temptations. Whenever there is a temptation, try to immediately become active in Krishna consciousness by doing something Krishna conscious. Like whatever, as many devotees teach us, that whatever pleases you the most in Krishna consciousness, you should do that. There are some things which we naturally love to do. For example, some people like to sit with the harmonium and sing. So you can sing like that. Or somebody likes to hear a particular tune in a particular place, you can hear that. Or sometimes somebody, if one goes to temple and comes back, then one forgets such bad desires. So one can go to temple for darshan of the Lord. So whenever one feels some frustration, because you are not feeding the senses according to that demand, on the other hand, you are feeling a great weakness, do not let them, do not succumb to temptation. But remember this point, the more you avoid succumbing to temptations, the more you are advancing. You are going, if you really want to achieve the pure status of life, you have to avoid succumbing to temptations. And then when you touch the pure life, you will again never get those temptations again. Even if temptations come, they will be meaningless to you. Like a pure devotee, all these temptations are there in his life also. But his material senses become completely inactive because he is rejoicing in Krishna. Like Prahlad Maharaj is saying, he says, Svad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta. I am absorbed in glorifying you. So in that glorification, I have forgotten all the disturbances of the material world. I don't feel any disturbances. Now we are feeling disturbance because we are identifying with the body. So let us come to the stage of pure platform where we have not identified the body. You had a question, Raghun? But trees also have different perception. See, different bodies are created differently and different species have different facilities. Like a cycle. Cycle doesn't have a radiator, isn't it? That is the limitation of the cycle. But it is also a vehicle. Like different bodies are different vehicles, like cycle, we have aeroplane, we have car, and different bodies offer different facilities. Somebody was asking, in a tree, where is the super soul situated? Where is the heart of the tree? So generally the heart of the tree is the place which supplies nourishment to the entire body. So in the case of the tree, the root is the part of the tree which supplies nourishment to the entire tree. So the super soul is situated in the root. So we can understand to some extent like that. But different species may have different external morphological appearance. That doesn't matter. We know that there is soul inside that. But the spiritual senses cannot be awakened in the body of a tree. One has to get a human body. That's the specialty of human body. Actually, I wanted to finish the class little early so that you can chant one round Hare Krishna. You should try to chant every day, every week.
This is a general question. Which came to the mind. Sometimes we get some needs and all from outside. And we know that we can offer it to our spiritual master.
What do you get? Okay.
Sweet.
Okay.
It's not that you're so pure that okay. we I believe that which is offered here.
Yeah.
We may have some
somebody might take it on.
From outside and we are offering it to the spiritual master,
yeah,
and we cannot offer it to him.
Yeah.
But then if I was thinking, if really the spiritual master was in here, we couldn't have offered that good stuff to
him.
But because it's just a photo, we are offering it.
So we can avoid. If you think it is not fit for the spiritual master to consume, we can avoid it. Like actually, you know what we offer the spiritual master? Sometimes we buy milk sweets from outside. So milk sweets, even Prabhupada said devotees can take, like milk sweets. Of course, it is second class because it's not prepared by a devotee, but they are all right. Prabhupada said the spiritual master can also accept. That's no problem. We can offer it, but you should not offer non-offerable things to the spiritual master. That's because one cannot offer meat to Krishna, one cannot offer to spiritual master. This case, as far as possible, we can avoid if we can. If we cannot avoid, we can offer. Actually, whether you offer the spiritual master to Krishna, ultimately it goes to Krishna only. Because spiritual master gives it to his guru and his guru, ultimately it goes to Krishna. Generally, people differentiate between the two, offering to a photo and offering to deity. But generally, one should try to offer as best things as possible to guru also. Generally it is said deities are very powerful and very pure things. It should be, you know, cooked by a devotee, offered by a devotee, served by a devotee, like that. The standards are very high, certainly. In both cases, in homes when you offer to guru only. In home. In temple, of course the deities are that person. But in home, generally when you offer, it's mainly offered to the guru only. Yeah. In temple we have separate plates. We have plate for Guru, we have plate for Gauranga, we have plate for Krishna or other.
If we get some food from outside,
we cannot offer any food to Guru also. We cannot offer any food. Like if somebody comes and gives you something cooked by in their house and they are not devotees, they are not trying to send them, how can you offer it to our guru? Yeah, we should not offer. So if you cannot offer to him, we cannot eat also. So we should offer only milk sweets if at all we offer from outside. Other things we preferably avoid. Yeah. So there are high standards. Gradually we should come to the standard. So all of you have been